Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hola, hola.
We're here again.
Welcome, everyone.
We're going to try something today. We're going to try to talk about, well, the world today, how it feels, what we're doing, how we're navigating, and maybe talking about politics without being political.
Ooh.
I don't know.
We'll see
what comes up. Okay.
We always talk about things that we shouldn't be talking about, politics, religion.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, gender roles. I don't know. I mean, we can probably go do those things. Go down that path at some point.
Yeah.
So.
And for saying that we're trying to not be opinionated, we're having some good conversations.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's kind of fun. It's fun when it's like, gloves are off. Let's talk about this. Didn't know you were going to go here, that kind of stuff. It's kind of, so it makes it interesting. So in this case, I tend to be in my family, we're American and Canadian in my family. Like, my parents were born in Spokane, Washington. I spent half of my life in the U.S. a little bit less than half now that I'm older. But in my family, because we're split down the middle, we are 100% 50-50, you know, this side, that side. I try to be very unengaged, and I pay not a lot of attention to politics, just typically. And this goes along with my belief that when you focus too much on the negative news and yada, yada, your quality of life goes down, and what can you really do about it anyway? So I live a happy life in a bubble where I focus on the positives and the impact I can have around me and stuff like that. So generally, I still believe that. And that's how I live. However, in the last few months, I've been much more engaged in what's going on in the world and curious about why certain things are happening and what the impact's going to be on me and in my family and in my business and all those things. And so I was just saying to these guys earlier that I live in Canada, and on the day of after the US election, I wrote an email. I do a weekly email to all of the people in our email database, and it just said, "What if I didn't choose sides?" And I found it really empowering, and I loved the freedom of getting curious about what's going on in the world and why people are choosing one thing versus another, and what are the underlying causes, and what does that mean for the world. And I found it liberating to be in that place. But now, like, with a lot, you know, the whole world is feeling the impact today around some of the decisions that are being made, you know, international relations, trade, stuff like that. And I'm more engaged in the topics too, because it has like direct impact on, call it, my pocketbook or my family's well-being or things like that. So I'm curious and interested to talk about what's going on in the world and how people are navigating it, stuff like that. So that's why we're going to go there. And I don't know if our opinions are going to offend people, or if we're just going to have a interesting conversation about how it feels to be in the world today.
I'm just excited.
Just
go ahead, James.
I'm scared and nervous. No, but I'm just gonna put something out there that we don't really ask feedback much from any of our listeners, and I think it would be nice if people could give us a bit of direction on if they think that we're on point or off point, or if we're offending anybody or. Yeah. Not offending, but if they feel like maybe what we're saying isn't quite, you know, appropriate. Hopefully we're not going to offend anybody, because we're not really that type of character, and we're always thoughtful of, our last episode was actually talking about communication and being mindful of other people's perception of what we're saying or doing. So I don't think we're going to offend anybody.
That's good.
We're not that way, but yeah, I'm scared.
But we'll try.
You know, it's funny because it is like, don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion. But we did do an episode on faith already. And I actually had people of like strong faith and people without faith, like specific religious faith, weigh in and say that they liked that conversation. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah. as a communicator and a communication strategist, I just watch what's going on in the world and how certain agendas and how effectively certain people are, or how effective they are at communicating their perspective in a way that people attach, remember, support, and all of that. And then, you know, on the flip side, people who are ineffective at it too. So that's also interesting, because all three of us believe in the power of stories, and the stories we tell ourselves, the stories we tell our friends, our families, our communities, our, you know, I don't know, our cohorts in the political party of choice, whatever. It's all stories. And it's really interesting watching the stories that are floating around the world today. And literally, you see exactly the opposite story being told by different groups of people, which is so fat. And the degree of certainty that these groups have saying the exact opposite thing is amazing. And it's not just inside the U.S. It's like everywhere now. It's everywhere, globally.
Yeah. Yeah. Everywhere. One thing the three of us have in common, and I think that's why we connected and we get on really well, is that we all, not that this is right or wrong, but I think we don't really have a view on, or strong view on, politics or religion. What we do tend to focus on, and not saying this is right, but what we do tend to focus on is our inner circle of what we can control.
Yeah.
Which ultimately comes back to our happiness, our results, our outcome, our relationships. And again, not saying that this is right or we get it right, but I think we're very focused on what we can control and less focused on the outside world and maybe, you know, politics or what's being said around the world by leaders. We don't tend to focus on too much because we can't necessarily have control over that. But what we can control is our habits, our actions, what we do, what we say we're going to do, and the people around us.
That's so true. That's so true.
I feel that even though we talk about topics or we bring up topics like politics, we tend to veer off to massive value with our stories or stories that come up that, well, to give me perspective anyways. And I told both of you, I've listened to our own podcasts. And it's interesting listening to it as opposed to being in it while it's being produced. And I've experienced both of you at as a client in terms of what you actually do, and then the environment that both of you put me in. You know, because I sit back and I'm thinking, how do you know? Historically, people get wealthier in environments of, you know, the depressions and, you know, massive chaos that happens in the world. What makes them so different that they succeed? And there's not that many, but now the curiosity is, what do they do differently that the masses that get impacted don't do? And for me, one of the things is to be around people that inspire me. Okay. So it's my, you know, core group. And what's the saying? The money that you make is the average of the five people that you're surrounding yourself with. I'm going to change that, and I'm going to add currency and not money anymore. Okay.
Because I've always heard it that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You become. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's the financial piece with, if you look at it from a currency standpoint, it's like, you know, growth to me is a currency. So I grow more. The relationships and the quality of the relationships is a currency. So I relate more, I connect more. Purpose. Right, to me is a currency, so my purpose deepens more. Right. Yeah. And you know, now that, well, we all belong to Strategic Coach, which is another form of, you know, like-minded entrepreneurs that are looking to have financial freedom, time freedom, you know, purpose freedom, and relationship freedom. And these are the conversations that I hope we bring to the forefront for the listener to then see opportunities and value, despite environments that may not look so positive on the outside.
I agree with that completely. I think that's so true. And yet I find myself more plugged in to what's happening in the world today than I ever have been. So what's that about? And
what's the curiosity?
What's going on in the world? Well, I think it's, on some level, I'm surprised at the level of polarization, the level of disdain, and what seems like I said to you guys earlier, I hate hate language. There's such a negative undertone in things. And I guess, yeah, I mean, I'm plugged in because I'm like, I live in Canada. I love this country for all kinds of reasons. You know, I've benefited from living in this country for, I guess, not quite 30 years now. And I don't like what I'm seeing happening to the country at the same time. And I mean, this relates to tariffs. You can't get, like, I can't have a meeting these days without tariffs coming up. Regardless of where the organization is, US, Canada, Europe. I think because what's happening is could have such far-reaching impact on global economies. It's not just US-Canada trade relations. It's not just US-China. It's not just your, you know, like, it's surprising to me. I mean, even the fact living in Canada and you hear people talking, I mean, you know, leaders talking about just like, you know, Canada, let's just annex, like they got lots of resources and those people don't care about what, you know, about much. They seem so nice. Let's just like swallow them up. And you're like, wait, what? So those types of, and whether those are just sensationalized sound bites or not, it hits you. It's like, wait a second. Like you can't just do that. And then, you know, you say, well, that would never happen in the world. And then you go, well, yeah, but what's going on with Russia and Ukraine? You know? So there's a level of, is this really happening? And surely I have a belief, this goes back to what you can control. And, you know, I believe that human beings are generally good and have good intentions. And so I believe that good things will come and good people will rise up in the face of evil if there is evil. So I'm optimistic about the human race. and even inside that, I'm like, what might happen? So there's a bit of concern there. And so I'm more engaged. And then I'm like looking at what leaders do. Like I'm watching the Canadian leadership race stuff because we need strong leadership with the right type of background and experience and ability to do the right thing for Canada right now. You know, it's not a bad thing. Disruption's not bad. I think you were saying that earlier, Stel. Disruption, you know, the depression, there are people who got rich.
It's essential, yeah.
Right. And so we're like, it's disruption. That's okay. It's like, wake up countries that have been relying too much on any other trade partner. You know, you wake up and take care of yourselves, right? There's lots of good and strength in each of these countries. And so, you know, that's not a bad lesson to learn, but.
Yeah, I love disruption. I've learned to love disruption. And right. Again, I'll go back to the environment that we're in at Strategic Coach, and I've met some pretty interesting people. And one of the things, again, my curiosity, because I'm like you, I mean, shut off the politics. It's all noise to me. I can't do anything about it anyway. So, but now I'm listening differently in terms of what's unfolding. And then because of who I'm surrounding myself with, and for example, technology and AI, now the question is, how does the gap in what I'm seeing and what's happening globally get filled with something that's of value, and in this case, AI. Okay, and one of the things that I've said for a while, I love working with the youth, like love it. Under 30, I love it. I learned so much. You know, a lot of them are disruptors, and you know, they don't want to work 9 to 5. I'm generalizing, but you know, they don't want to work 9 to 5. They don't want general constructs that have happened in the past in terms of a job. And I think the reason is because they know that they have a creative inside of them that can get expressed, right? Mm-hmm. And it's creativity that produces things like AI and, you know, the new things that are showing up in the forefront, right? And the application of those tools, I believe, are going to fill the gaps that are showing up in this disruption that's showing up as a problem where, again, I'm like you, Mary. It's like, what's the opportunity? Where's the value? And I believe in all humans being good, right? And then it's being able to tap into that. The other thing that came to my mind when you were speaking is most of us, so again, behavior and values are the most deeply rooted things that drive, motivation and values drive the behavior. But also 95% of the behavior is unconscious. So if we run unconscious programs of fear, for example, that's all we're going to see, right? Yeah. So then the world becomes fearful. If we run unconscious programs of happiness, then we'll still see the happiness, right? But for the most part, evolutionary and as a human being, we have to run negative emotions in terms of unconscious programs. It's part of our development.
Survival.
Right? It's a certain, right? Yeah. So exactly. And what you actually, that's a big one that you're seeing right now is Maslow's hierarchy in terms of survival is where some people are running. And that's why you see some of the behaviors and why they're charged with certain sound bites that they're hearing. And I find it fascinating in terms of, that's interesting. And what is it that we, even with our podcast here, to me, as I was listening to it, it is those sound bites that give me hope, give me ideas, tap into my creative to think things differently. And sometimes it's not what we're saying. It's just the essence of being in this space of three individuals that actually care at a very, very deep level. So anyways, I'll throw it at you guys. And then,
I have a question for you then. Cause, if there's a fear program running, and I agree, survival is sort of fundamental, built into our DNA. And so in order to survive, we need to have an eye on risks. And so we look for, and it's easier for the human mind to see the bad because we're trying to save ourselves first.
Right. Now,
for the last, if you live in North America or different parts of the world where, you have more access to resources and wealth than ever before, the nature of those risks change. We're beyond survival and we're going to fulfillment and things like that. But when something happens, politically, globally, international relations, trade, that disrupts that sense of everything's going to be okay. Like, I had a very simple sort of view of trade. You have money and needs. We have resources. You buy the stuff so that you can use the things that you need. And then we get money as a result. It's the relationships are far more complicated than that. But when you see that stuff starts to get thrown into the juice mixer and turned around, then are we appealing? Is the attitude of today living in that fear place? And what do we do and how do we behave? And what do we support when we come from a place of fear versus a place of abundance and safety and security? And so then do you worry about outcomes when there's a global population driven by fear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exactly what you said in terms of survival. Okay. It's a survival mechanism to have fear at some point in our experience. Okay. Yeah. And this is the example I use if I'm coaching, right? Like my son Thomas, he's 2 years old and he decided, oh, this is cool. I'm gonna jump off the top of the stairs because I'm Superman. He would have hurt himself, right? So all of a sudden I see him and I'm like, stop. Right? In his case, he just looks and he experienced fear for the first time.
Right.
But he has nothing to compare it to. So it's fear for him. Okay. And this happens when he's two. And we call them gestalts, and Inside Out is a great movie to explain this. I love Inside Out, Mary, new program. Okay, so here's the first gestalt of fear. Then there's more fear, 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 fear. And now you've just embedded a fear imprint for survival purposes. Okay. Now, until that fear gets reframed in such a way for him to discover at some point, what do you mean dad was protecting me? Now becomes I am protected, and now he has a resource to support him moving forward. And everyone has these stories that run unconsciously that we're not aware of. That's why they're unconscious. So why is that important in this environment to understand this, or at least to be able to say, that's interesting. If you pay attention, and you mentioned sound bites, a big, big one that you hear now is war, trade war, right? Yeah. There's certain words that are hitting and unconsciously you have no choice but to go. So internally, war, what do you mean? And then you hear language and behaviors that sometimes don't make any rational sense to somebody looking at it, but inside they do make, you know, rational sense to the individual because it's tapping into a place where now it's like, oh my God, I'm scared. Okay.
It's compromising now, my very sense of survival.
Bingo.
And so, yeah, absolutely.
Bingo. Right. And then boom, there's the behavior that we see. And then there's two parts that are showing up. One is fear, which is always the past. And then you'll hear a lot of people saying, I feel anxious.
Yeah.
Anxiety. You know, I have to take anti-anxiety meds or, right? So if you hear anxiety, that's typically a fear of the future. Okay. Mm-hmm. So fear of the past, anxiety is the fear of the future. And there's only one way to negate that. It's living in the moment, in the now, and it's easier said than done. Okay. But this is where, if you have the ability to be in an environment or listen to podcasts or talking to someone or experiencing something by being in the moment, which I have with both of you at so many different levels in so many different ways, that's when the resources occur. And Mary, you mentioned, I mean, you might want to repeat the quote on the space.
Viktor Frankl.
Do the Viktor Frankl because it's, I think it's fitting in terms of that space.
Yeah. So my favorite quote is Viktor Frankl, and it came up in the last podcast, but maybe you didn't listen to that one. And he says that, you know, the last of the human freedoms is the freedom to choose your response. And my favorite quote is between the stimulus and the response, there is a space. And in that space is the power to choose your response. In your response lies your growth and your freedom. So there's, like, you know, a positive stimulus, negative stimulus, stimulus out there. And if you can create space between you and that stimulus and choose how you respond to it. I mean, Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. He had, like, the worst of the human experiences visited upon him. And he, you know, derived that insight out of that experience. So I do think that's super powerful. I just wonder, and James, I want to know what you think around, because, I mean, you live, Stella and I are both in Canada and experiencing the Canadian filters of what's happening globally, but I'm curious for you from the UK, living in Abu Dhabi. That piece of it, I want us to know, at the end of this podcast, I'd like for us to think about what can we do to feel better amidst the uncertainty, and I think part of what you're saying, Stel, is to be in the moment and to surround yourself by the good. And I love that. And then I go, yes, but should I be doing something about what's happening in the world today? I don't know. So.
Okay. Let me jump in. Cause as I'm listening to the two of you, there's so much going on in my head. And so let me say a few things. So on your comment that you just said, you know, should I be doing something? Yes, I think we can all be doing something, which is to do the best that we can do. That's all we can do is, you know, our outputs, whether or not it's to be a better person, to be a better friend, to be a better employee, to be a better parent. You know, we can always do better. And by doing the things that we can control externally has a better impact on the world, which can influence decisions that are being made at a higher level. I think that we can always do that. When I think about politics and I think about government, for me, it's the same as a business. You have a CEO and you have employees, team members and things like this. So if you think about it, a CEO is, and in some cases you will have a chairman, which is the, you know, a founder or the owner of the company, but you have somebody who ultimately who's running it for a period of time. And then you have, which is, let's say, the president, prime minister, for example, and then you'll have the population within that country, which is the members of staff, which is the employees, and it has to be profitable. I mean, in some cases, countries aren't, which is why they end up borrowing money. And I'll come at this from a financial point of view, but you have incomings and outgoings, and you have taxes and you have revenues and you have imports and you have all these different things, and you have frauds and you have, you know, various different measures going on. But ultimately what has to happen is the person that is the CEO of the country has to try and keep peace, create order, have policies. And it's the same as within a company. And if they're only going to be in for 4 years or 8 years or 12 years or however long they're in, they need to try and get results. And results can be in various different ways. And of course, when they're coming in and they're trying to pitch and get the job interview, you know, they're, oh, I'll get these results and I'll do X, Y, and Z. And then it's a case of when they're in, can they do it? And they're going to come out. And you imagine when someone first comes into the role, they might be firing people because they want to decrease costs.
Yeah.
And they want to show profitability back to the board, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not their business, but they want to try and show and flex the muscles. And there's going to be people that are disappointed. And, you know, if you think about it, if one of the employees goes, well, what can I do to keep my job? And what can I do to keep peace? And what can I, well, there's a lot that you can do. Mm-hmm. You can turn around and go, you know, how can I be a better member of staff? How can I get along with people better? How can I give better results?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we view it from a point of view of, okay, the country is a business, and there's policies that need to be made, and I can either stay within this firm. There's no point moaning about it, because moaning about true. It isn't going to. I can stay within this company and know what the rules and policies are, and do my bit. Or do you know what? I leave that company and I go and join somewhere else. Which, by the way, is what I did.
Yeah, that's yeah. Keep going.
Which is what I did. I left the UK. I didn't actually leave the UK because I didn't agree with the policies and the government, but. I did leave and I moved to a place where I had rights before. Careful how I say this. But I had rights before. It was a very, very, very liberal country. And now I've moved to a country which is different. And for me, I prefer the UAE. I prefer the way that it runs. It's, I think, the safest place in the world. It has policies which make sense. It doesn't work in the way that a president or prime minister is nominated. It's run by the royal family. And there are different privileges for different people. And for me, it makes sense. Everybody knows what the rules are. And you abide by the rules, you work hard, you give back, you do X, Y, and Z, or do you know what? You get out.
Yeah.
And everyone knows where the book starts and finishes.
Right. You signed up for this.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And a lot of people are leaving the UK because of the policies that are coming into place right now and have been for the last, you know, 4 and 8 years, and different in different political parties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're leaving for different reasons, but leaving not all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but what I'm saying is there's different parties that have run the country, and during all them different parties, not just because the one that's in right now people don't agree with, but for different reasons, you know, probably I think 3 to 4% of the UK and the ones which were paying a lot of taxes. So imagine if you've got a business, your top salespeople are leaving the business right now and moving to a different business. That's what's happening. So you look at it and go, well, they should be looking at it and going, why are all my best producers leaving?
Yeah.
What are the general thoughts in the UAE around what's happening in North America right now, James? Is it even a thought, or is it more just that's interesting?
Well, like always, it depends on people. Don't really talk about the rest of the world here or what's going on.
Okay.
You know, for example, the newspapers and the news and stuff, like, there isn't anything negative here. Like, the local newspapers are not allowed to publish negative news. Of course, there are certain places where it's published, but they don't want negativity. You know, there is not, if somebody goes and posts something online, and I actually agree with this, if someone goes and posts something online, they can be extradited for it. They can be sent home.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Because they want the place to be a productive, forward-thinking, positive approach.
Which and I could that, sign up for.
That's what creates, I mean, it really is. I'm not just saying this because it is exceptionally an unthinkably safe and a beautiful place to live, because it's that cohesive, loving environment.
Yeah.
That you want to thrive in. And it's you know, they used to always say that the US is the land of the opportunity. I actually think it's here right now. And Stella, you've been here a couple of times.
Well, yeah. And then we went to the shopping mall and we had, I don't know, 5 bags. And I go into the washroom and everybody leaves their bags at the front of the where you entered the bathroom. And you can't see the bags when you're inside. And I was with one of James' colleagues and I said, we're going to leave our bags there. And he goes, yeah. And I said, isn't anybody – so again, fear of loss, right? So isn't anybody going to steal the bags? He goes, no, why would they? I mean, he looked at me like it was strange.
It was crazy.
And then I find out afterwards, if you steal anything, you're either in jail or if you're not from there, you get deported. Like,
done.
Right away, right? So that's the safety that you feel in there. And then the other thing I felt, which was mind-blowing, was everything's geared around the family and the experience for the family. Like the whole mall is built around the experience for the family. I was like, wow, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. And then you know, knowing now that it's just positive stuff, it's like, wow, it's so different, right? But here's another example where all you hear is positive news. You're not tapping into fear. But if you hear more negative news, you're tapping into fear and survival.
Yeah, and I mean,
another beautiful example is that right now it's Ramadan. And driving down the streets, if you're going to, they call it iftar, which is when you break the fast. So if you're driving towards an iftar, if you're driving on the road around, say, 6 o'clock at night, they are handing out at traffic lights water and food for anybody that maybe cannot afford or maybe needs some at the time. And there's so much giving in this part of the world.
That's so lovely.
Which is we talk a lot about, you know, we get a certain amount of enjoyment when we're doing things for ourselves. But when we are doing it for other people and giving, we get so much more. And the world gives you so much more back.
I think that your story is so fascinating and I'm so curious about it, having been raised in the US and living in Canada and like the free world and the emphasis on personal freedom and democracy and all of that. And I believe that, like I believe it in my bones, I've grown up with it. I love hearing about the benefits, I guess, if guided by the right folks who are driving the right, what you believe to be the right values and ways of living, then it's like a pretty safe little bubble inside a pretty chaotic world right now.
No, I was going to say quite a question though, because I know that we said disruption is essential. If we, so I'm saying this because we had our kind of teachers day to day for my son, and he's at kind of preschool, and that was the first one that we've been to. And obviously you go to a school or a nursery environment and it's all about appreciation and acknowledgement and love and giving people space and all these different things. And if you take that to the real world that we're in right now, that's not what the real world is. In our last episode we were talking about, is it that we're all becoming, you know, overly sensitive? Or is it that we've got a higher sense of, you know, self-importance? And maybe we reached the verdict that it's probably a balance of both.
Mm-hmm.
But is it that it's us? Is it that it's, you know, from a top-down approach, from, you know, government and policies, that's where all of the disorder and the chaos is coming from? Or is it a bottom-down approach that actually we are the ones which are fueling it and polluting it?
Yeah.
You know, where is this coming from? Because it definitely doesn't come from school and from the education environment. So it comes from coming when we go out into the corporate world, you know, and is it a corporate environment that actually they want all of this chaos? Because guess what? It makes more profits for the big corps and the, you know, and we're getting into a very political and dangerous topic here. Let's not even go on to the whole conspiracy and COVID part of things and the big bombs.
No, I mean, geez, if we were doing this podcast over COVID, imagine the topics we could cover. Without getting political, fear drives behavior. And so, you know, it would be profitable to incite fear to drive a behavior that you would want. Now, I believe, like, you know, again, I'm more the optimist. I believe that, you know, double down on your strengths and you'll do better. Focus on the positive. Have an abundance mindset. Like we all believe that. But out in the world, fear drives purchase decisions. Like, you know, I need to protect myself. Things are dangerous. I need to, you know, so. And it doesn't mean that it's this Machiavellian thing where people are going to scare people into buying stuff. It's, you know, people solving a problem that they perceive the world has. And those people will, you know, for all those people who believe we have that problem, they'll go buy the security camera or, you know, there's all these baby monitors now. My niece just had a baby and, I heard that they have, pulse oxygen monitors in cribs. Now they, like, you know, when I was having kids, it was like the video in the room so you could see where the baby was moving and stuff. But now they're like measuring pulse oxygen, like blood oxygen, during sleep, you know, as a prevention of SIDS, you know. So there's, because fundamentally we're about survival. So we will invest in those things if we're afraid of those things. I think, what I plan to do, I do want to stay engaged in what's happening. Because I think it's important to know what's going on around. Like, this is a really bad example. But way back in, before World War II, when Hitler was doing his stuff, and people were like, that guy's kind of out there. Well, that would never happen. He could never do that. And then all of a sudden, I don't mean to make a comparison between then and now, other than to say, I think it's important to be aware maybe of what's happening so that at some point when you need to do something or feel something or vote for something, you know. But in my day to day, it's focus on the what's going on in my own backyard, contribute, serve others, support the growth and development of others, challenge myself to be a better person, use my skills to support what I think is good in the world. And all of that. That's where I'm going to go.
The thing I'm going to add, because I think we're almost done, but so you said fear drives behavior, right? And one thing I was taught is fear pushes and vision pulls.
Mm.
Okay. And visualization is going to be, I think, a next topic, but it's what is it that we visualize in terms of what our ideal life looks like and how we can contribute in our way. And I want to, you know, finish off with one story because James introduced me to an amazing woman, businesswoman in the UAE. And I was there in Ramadan last year. And we went out to this tent, that massive tent where they break the fast and then the families are there and everybody's there. And I was there with him and his colleagues and this particular, and I'll call her a leader because she's a leader in many ways, sits down and then the food had already been ordered. And she doubled the order, you know, and the rest of them are looking, oh, here she goes again, right? So it was way more food than we can possibly eat. And sure enough, there was many leftovers. And she said, please beg up, like to go beg. Now, the thing is, I also found out that it's illegal to ask for money to beg on the street. And it's illegal for somebody to give the money to the beggar. So I said to her, why are you taking this food with you? Like, who are you going to give it to? And she said, there's always people that need extra help despite of how it looks. And she always takes the bags and gives it to the, you know, either the attendants, the car attendants, or whoever's out there. And I started seeing the principles of success, like real principles of success as a human being. And we're talking, she's pretty successful. Not only are they contributing to the economy, probably, but they're contributing to society. And her thought process is to contribute things that are important to her, and contribution is one of them. And the reason I bring it up is that's how vision gets created in terms of who you are and what's important to you. And I'm looking forward to the vision, our visualization podcast, because there are concepts that I'll share on how to visualize and to move people towards fear pushes and the vision pulls.
Yeah, I love that. Spend some time on a compelling vision of a better future.
Yeah,
that's where to spend your energy. That's beautiful. Thank you, James.
Just to finish off with something that leads up. I can never top stop
it, baby. Top it.
When I've had my, and this is not about politics, but this follows on from the giving part. When I've had my darkest times, I feel like I've come through them because of giving. So rather than blaming, and I think this is where a lot of the issue comes in terms of not politics, but specifically where friction occurs, is it becomes a very much a blaming mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And when things, when life doesn't go the way that I want it to, it would be very easy at that particular moment in time. And I have done it because we're humans. But yeah. I go into a very, you know, blaming why me and why has this happened. But when I pull myself out of that and I go into how can I double down on my good habits, even though I want to sit at home and eat chocolates and crisps and have a glass of wine, which I would love to do, but I know where that path is going to take me. So if I go down the route of more gym, better sleep, more exercise, creating visions, and then, but more importantly, how can I give more to other people? How can I show up, even though I don't feel like it? I definitely don't feel like it, and I maybe not don't have the time for it. But let me make an extra effort to do it. The universe does a full 360, not straight away, but when I'm not expecting it, a door opens that I thought was never there, and then all of a sudden you're off and you're back on track or beyond to a new path. And I think that rather than focusing on, you know, they've said this wrong or this is going to have an impact or they shouldn't, and focusing on the universe, if we just double down on ourselves and even more give back in areas that we wouldn't normally have done or definitely don't feel like doing, then not that you should do it for that, but I think that you will feel a lot better. Yeah. And yeah, you won't necessarily have that resentment or issues with what's being said or happening in the outside world.
Yeah, I love it. In the world of uncertainty, how can we serve others and contribute more? And that gives us that sense of peace, well-being, and we're doing good. So I think that's a great takeaway from this whole conversation, the unpolitical political conversation. You guys are fun. That's right. Have a good one, everybody.
Love the pivot.
Thank you. We'll see you at the next one.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.